Hello, everybody.
Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Flute View Radio. This is Viviana Guzman for theflutview.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is the Flute View Radio podcast with today's guest, Emma Resmini. I am Viviana Guzman, and I'd like to welcome Fluter Scooter on live with me. Welcome, Fluter. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Welcome. How are you?
Awesome. I'm good. I just saw you yesterday. I'm just recovering from NFA.
Actually, I know.
The day before. You know, I had an NFA dream last night. I can talk more about that later if you wish, but maybe not. Let's just get to Emma.
Let's talk about it now. Go for it. Tell us.
Oh, no, it was like an hour like before the end of the show, and then Joan from Flute World is like, I found 12 extra bags. And she's like, sell these. And they were all like the cedar wood and black patent leather bags that I had sold out of like the first day. And I'm like, I only have an hour. I don't know how I'm going to sell them. And that was the dream. And I woke up and I'm like, still thinking about NFA.
Well, it was a great NFA, wasn't it?
It was. I'm really happy with the show. It was a great show for Fluter Scooter Bags this year. Also for the Flute View, I gave away a lot of flyers.
Oh, yeah, of course. I did, too. And the Flutes by the Sea trio.
And the Flutes by the Sea trio. And I kept getting so many compliments about our performance and the music. If the music is copywritten, and that's I told them, yes, Nicole Chamberlain's Percolate is available on Flute World and through her website. And Frylock is also, too, right?
Yes, through the composer,
yes.
David Solomon.
David has a website.
And he does, you can download his music through the website as well. Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And cool. Also Stephen Lee, the composer of the Tango 4-3, he also publishes everything and sells it through his website as well. So very
good,
cool stuff.
Good to know. Yeah.
Hello. You know, Barbara's here
I'm
too.
Welcoming Barbara Cecil. Welcome, Barbara. Where are you? How are you?
I'm in New York City, and I'm fine. I'm fine. It's not hot. Very hot here.
We missed you. We missed you at NFA.
Yeah, I missed it, too. I had too many meetings in New York after being on the West Coast that I had to attend, and I couldn't make it work this year. I'll have to make it work next year because I felt bad missing all of the festivities and seeing all the pictures and hearing all the great playing. And, yeah, it sounds like it was a great NFA this year.
Well, we'll have to see you in Minneapolis next year.
To Minneapolis. Okay. It could be fun.
It's like, okay, Minneapolis.
It'll be good. It'll be good, you know. I love the Midwest. I've been there many times. So everything is good. I'm slightly immersed in the world of ed tech and entrepreneurship, which is really a different kind of entrepreneurship than what we've been doing in the nonprofit world. So it's taking up a lot of time. But it's very interesting and very encouraging, and I hope we get to really get that, what we're doing out there, so that lots of kids can have music in their schools in a way that is affordable for their districts, all the ones that have decided to cut music. So it's been a very exciting journey. And Yeah, so that's what I'm doing.
Good. Well, today's guest is Emma Resmini, and I'm just going to read a biography, a short little bio here of her. Emma, at the time of, is a student of Alice Kogan Weinrib that may have changed, but in December 2009, Emma performed with the National Symphony Orchestra at the Kennedy Center and at the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra Hall in Hines Hall, both under the baton of Maestro Marvin Hamlisch. We remember him, don't we?
Yeah.
Emma was featured on the National Public Radio program From the Top, performing Chaminade Concertina with host Christopher Riley. She was a featured flutist in the 2009 National Flute Association Convention in New York City, including a duo with Carol Winsens. Wow, awesome. In 2010, Emma performed the Vivaldi Flute Concerto with the MacLean Orchestra under Sylvia Alimena, and she appeared as a featured soloist in music education film The Juilliard Discoveries, a production of Cornucopia Arts. Emma's flute studies began at the age of 3 using the Suzuki method, and at the age of 7, without front teeth, she made her solo debut performing The Carmen Fantasy by Bourne with George Mason University Orchestra. Well, that's quite a biography for Miss Resmini, who we will find out now how old she is. Currently, Emma Resmini, welcome. How are you? You are live on the air. Can you hear us?
Loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yay.
So, Emma, tell us, how old are you now, and what are you up to?
All right, well, I'm 16 now, and I am going into my third year at the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia.
Mm, great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And didn't you just recently do another appearance with From the Top?
No, it was with Performance Today. They're a radio station based in Minnesota.
Fred Childs.
Yeah, with Fred Childs. Yeah, they have a young artist residency. So I did that in May.
And who are you studying with at Curtis?
Jeffrey Kaner.
Oh, with Jeffrey Kaner.
Yay,
my
Jeffrey Kaner.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Kaner was my first teacher, actually. I started studying with him in, I think, ninth grade, and he really prepared me for everything. He really kicked my butt.
he's really great.
He's a great teacher, great flutist, and very funny, actually. He has an interesting sense of humor. I have that sense of humor, actually, when I teach lessons. I take on some of his traits, which is always funny when I notice that, but So
yeah,
Emma,
definitely had some entertaining lessons.
Yeah. So I was wondering, you have played almost all of the flute repertoire by such a young age. What is there now that you have played almost everything? I see you're doing some transcriptions, some violin music, and what do you see as the future? I mean, you're only 15, you said 15 or
16?
16. 16. Okay, you're only 16, and I mean, you've pretty much played all the flute rep and a lot of the violin rep. What is next? I see you're doing a lot of new music, too, and I was just wondering if there was anything else that you really wanted to focus on in your old age.
Yeah. Well, contemporary music definitely is a big focus for me right now. I've been, once I got to Curtis, I was doing a lot of contemporary music, like in solo and chamber groups and all that kind of stuff. And I really like doing it because to me it's really great to take a piece that like either very few people have played or nobody has played, and like having to figure out like what to do with it. You know, figuring out an interpretation and what the techniques are supposed to sound like. It's just really interesting to me because it's like going from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what new pieces and what composers are you working with now?
Well, I do a lot of premieres, and so I work with mostly college students when I premiere stuff. I'm actually going to be premiering my first flute sonata this year, which I'm super excited about.
That cool. You've written yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You're a composer, too. That's wonderful. Cool. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yay, so are you studying composition also?
No, I'm not composing right now. I might do that in the future.
And is it a flute sonata
Sorry, what?
Go ahead.
I was going to ask, is it a flute sonata that only you can play? Or, I mean, is it a super, super crazy, Emma, technical, fantastic, you know? Or is it something that, you know, like a high school student would be able to play, or like the level of it, I guess?
Well, the composer who wrote it, he definitely knows that I can play a lot of crazy stuff, so he didn't really hold back. But I think maybe like a good high school level or college level could probably, college student could do it, I think. Like there aren't a lot of extended techniques, so it's mostly just, it's a lot of big intervals and a lot of fast runs, but that's all. But I mean, that's doable.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Emma, what made you choose the flute at 3?
Sorry, can you say that again?
What made you choose to play the flute at 3 years old? How did that happen?
Oh, so I started with Suzuki Method, but my older sister also did, and there was some Suzuki summer camp thing that she was doing, and I also went and did those kinder music class things. And the teacher there happened to be a flutist, and she played flute for us. And by the end of that camp, I just knew I wanted to play flute because it looked really pretty, it sounded really pretty, and it really appealed to me. Because I had tried some other instruments, but I didn't like them. But then there was the flute, and I was like, oh my God, that's it.
That's 3 years old.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That is really great. Do you feel now that you're at Curtis, you miss being in high school, or are you also doing high school at the same time?
Oh, I graduated from high school last summer, so I'm done with that. In terms of like going to public school versus going to Curtis, I am definitely happy that I'm going to Curtis instead. I think it's a lot more valuable, especially for young musicians, to just be around mostly people who want to do the same thing as you, instead of like going to public school and there being a lot of confusion about what people maybe want to do, and then also having to spend a lot of time on things that don't necessarily like apply to what you want to do. So I think going to Curtis was, at least for me, it was the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah.
Definitely.
Great.
Did
you study piano at all, or did you immerse yourself immediately with just the flute?
I think a few years after starting flute, I took piano lessons for a year or two, and then I stopped, and then I picked up piano again before I went to Curtis because they have you take piano lessons, so I wanted to be somewhat prepared so I wouldn't be a complete beginner again.
Right.
And then I took a year of piano lessons at Curtis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So you're
headed to your third year at Curtis. Any idea of what you want to do after Curtis?
Yeah, it's a... Yeah, I'm not super sure, but what I am also very interested in orchestral music. Like, I got a lot more into it because of playing in the Curtis Orchestra and opera. So I do want to take some orchestral auditions and just see what might happen. So if any auditions come up when I graduate from Curtis, I might do that. If not, I'm going to get a master's degree probably. And then... just keep doing contemporary music, like keep forming chamber groups wherever I go and keep performing and just doing a lot of stuff. I like to have variety in my life.
Right.
That's very important. Yeah.
Well, you know, the Flute View is a magazine that talks a lot about entrepreneurship. And is there anything that you find interesting or might be of interest to you once you're finished with your master's or not in an orchestra or even while in an orchestra that might have, I don't know, something to do with reaching much younger flute players or flutists that are in your generation that are in a different place? Or I don't know, I'm riffing on things that might be fun to do.
Yeah, I try to keep like audiences kind of broad because I think it's really important to just get more people to be interested mm-hmm. in classical music.
Right.
So like yep. for me, yep. I do want to try to get more into like playing in non-traditional venues to like venues where you wouldn't necessarily have classical music and go and play probably mostly contemporary music, but also incorporate like romantic and classical music just to get a bigger audience, especially for orchestras, because it's harder and harder for orchestras to keep their audiences. So I think it's really important to just engage as many people as possible. So even if I got an orchestra job or had a set career, I would still try to engage more people, mm-hmm. not just think, oh, well, I have an audience here, so I'm just going to stick with that. I want to keep trying to expand it.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are your...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Do you have any idea? I mean, you're 16 years old. Do you have any ideas of how to bring people your age and get them interested in classical music and what kind of venues and types of performances you think that they would be interested in? Because though, you know, it's the youth that is really, that's where the... One of the issues is that they're just not interested in classical music anymore, going to live concerts. And it was much different when I was 16. I would see the Philadelphia Orchestra every week. I would sit all the way in the back. This is when they were in the old concert hall, not the newer one. And I remember it was just the best experience. And there were a lot of other young people there too. But nowadays you really don't see that so much. So any ideas, you know, bringing people around your age into concerts?
I think, again, it's the whole having variety within concerts. Because, like, I've mm-hmm. gone to concerts that are aimed for not necessarily my age, but, like, elementary school age. And it's mm-hmm. a lot of older music and just, a lot of the classical music that you'd hear in TV commercials, like that, like music that they've definitely heard, even if they don't realize it. But I think there needs to be more variety to show kids, you know, it isn't just Vivaldi and Beethoven. There's other stuff happening in the mm-hmm. music world. And then I've actually talked to some people about this because it's a very big topic, but also incorporating different types of art, so like having dance
yeah.
videos to go with the music. So I think it's just mm-hmm. that young people, you know, they go to pop concerts or rock concerts, and there's just a lot happening. And I think it's difficult to then go to a classical music concert where you're supposed to sit quietly and respect the music. So I think it needs to kind of flip. I think musicians need to respect the audience more than the audience needs to respect the musician. For the music.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
you have to be crazy.
those are hard things to do, given the way where the musicians are trained. And,
yeah.
You know, in some way we have to kind of shake up even what the conservatory is putting out there for the students to learn, and I don't know when that's going to happen, but it's just, you know, a hard thing to think about. So do you have any really exciting concerts coming up?
Let me think. Well, I have a full recital on August 28th, and it's really great because it's actually a benefit concert to help a local community farm that gives produce to to group homes and food banks in the D.C. area.
Oh, great. Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
That's
in D.C.? That's in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, the concert is in Maryland, and then it benefits food banks in the Virginia, Maryland, D.C. area.
Also, tell our listening audience where it's going to be and what time and all of that.
I think it's
Strathmore
House.
Strathmore. Oh, great.
It sounds the same to me. Yeah, so it's Strathmore Mansion. I can send you guys the link and you can post it.
Great, we'll do that
if you want.
yeah, why not? What are you playing?
And what will you be? What are you playing? Yeah.
Oh, a lot of stuff. I'm gonna play the Bach solo flute partita, the Prokofiev sonata, Flute Poetic by Jennifer Higdon, which is like my most favorite flute sonata ever. It's absolutely amazing. Demons by Brett Dean, which is just this really wacky, crazy solo flute piece that's so fun to play. And I'm forgetting his name. Denisov. And it's a flute sonata by Edison Denisov. And then we're going to have a premiere piece by Peter Thorne, who is a British composer.
Cool.
Sounds like a good concert. Yeah.
Yeah, hope they like
great.
It.
And what's like the most fun performance that you've ever had? One most memorable?
Well, there are a lot, but actually last December, a chamber group, I was in this group. We played Pour Lumière by Arnold Schoenberg. And we did a couple performances of it, but our big performance was in Philadelphia. And it was in collaboration with Duende, which is it's a group. It has a composer, a violinist, or sometimes violinist, a cellist, and two dancers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was in collaboration with them. So we had the two dancers, and we did like this whole cabaret style show because Pour Lumière was originally written for a cabaret show. So we did it cabaret style. We had stuff in between the songs. The dancers wanted us to dance, so they made us dance.
we did
kind of dorky dance numbers with them. So yeah, that was really, really fun.
That's great. It was like a really authentic cabaret experience for your audience too. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. I think it was really good to do that because since most people just play it straightforward. Also, it's like 40 minutes anyway, so it's just like a really long piece.
I've done it a number of times.
So
I think theatricalizing it is a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it helps. Yeah. And we also our soprano did a English translation of the text, so the audience could follow along better too.
Right.
Oh,
that's a pretty heavy duty piece.
Yeah, definitely.
I think I did. How much you whole thing with blue light? Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. What?
Emma, your Chaminade concertino has over a million hits on YouTube, and you were 7 years old, and you played it memorized. Do you still play largely memorized? I mean, I see the Carmen Fantasy also. Is that something that just came naturally for you, or how is your relationship with playing by memory?
I definitely still play at least solo pieces from memory. When I play chamber groups or play in chamber groups, that's different. But yeah, I still try to play as many things memorized as possible. I think for me it helped that I think it does help me that I've just been always memorizing. Like that's just I've always done that. Like it wasn't something that I had to learn how to do like in the past couple of years. So I think for younger flutists, probably good advice is to start now because it does get harder because it is actually a lot harder for me to memorize than it used to be. Like, I can still memorize pretty fast, but I have to do a lot more things. I have to, I never had to study the score or listen to recordings to memorize a piece when I was younger, but now there are so many more things that I need to do to get to that level.
Well, Emma, we have only 5 more minutes, and we're going to be cut off promptly on the hour. So as a final question, I wanted to just ask you, since you touched upon advice for younger people, what are some more pieces or words of wisdom that you could offer to some of our younger listeners?
I guess, well, sorry, first off, to the flute teachers about for what I'm about to say. But I think...
Go for it!
Yeah. I think a big thing is just to, I mean, yes, listen to your teachers about what they have to say. If you have a teacher, listen to their advice and everything. But also just play. At some point, you do just have to make a decision on how you want to play a piece or approach something. And I think a lot of people, not just flutists, but a lot of musicians kind of lose their love for music because of just being told how to play things. So I think younger flutists should take the opportunity now while they're just like having all this crazy stuff going through their head. They should just take the opportunity to figure out their own interpretation or just do what they want to do with the music and just have fun with it. Because whatever interpretation you have when you're younger, you're not necessarily going to have that same interpretation. Like, most of my interpretations for older pieces have completely changed. So it's not set in stone. So just experiment, see what you like, but just do what you want to do, basically.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that advice.
Are your parents musicians, Emma?
No, they are not. Definitely not.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about your sister? Is she still a musician?
Yes, she is. She plays guitar and violin.
Great.
Cool.
So now it's a musical family.
Any CDs or CD releases or ideas of CD releases in the future?
I'm hoping. I have a few ideas that I'm trying to put together. So hopefully in the next few years I'll be able to announce that.
Great.
Good.
Yeah.
We look forward to that.
Me too.
Me too.
All right.
So we are just about finishing up. Is there anything else that you would like to add, comments, or how about a website? Where can people reach you or catch up with you, your YouTube channel?
Oh, yeah. So I have a YouTube channel, and then I have a Facebook page, a Twitter page, and an Instagram page. So I'm kind of everywhere.
And no. I didn't find a website, though.
Yeah, I don't have a website up yet. I'm working on that.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't find you. I was like, let me do some research.
Yeah. So the bio that I read at the beginning was I found it from Instant Encore. So anyway, we have thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you, Emma. Thank you so much for joining us. You're certainly...
Thank you.
An amazing inspiration to all of us, and especially young budding flutists out there. So thank you very, very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure.
Hey, thank you, Emma.
Yeah. Thank you, Emma. Have a great next recital.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.